The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
I've been reflecting on something that I'll share as a practice this evening. When I first started this practice, I remember hearing the idea that you can treat everything and everyone as a Buddha. So every difficulty you encounter is a Buddha. They're there to offer a valuable lesson. And every joy you encounter is a Buddha, and everything in between. When you can take that perspective, one can start to feel appreciation even for dissatisfaction, stress, and suffering. We can feel appreciation when dukkha, when these difficulties show up, if we see it as a Buddha or we see it as a teacher of something that's there for us that we need to learn. And if we take it as a lesson in liberation, it changes our relationship to what's coming up. So as I talk about this, perhaps allowing yourself to remember some of the things you've learned from mindfully seeing suffering, becoming aware of stress. For example, what has physical discomfort or pain taught you? I've learned a lot from them. So one of the things I've learned is that the more I fight with or resist physical discomfort, the more tension my body holds and the more painful it gets. When I relax or bring a sense of complete acceptance, a kind of patience to it, at times pain has become an experience of sensations, just an interesting and broad range of sensations, not always pleasant, but just learning from my relationship with physical discomfort. And another lesson I've learned is that by allowing painful sensation to be present without rebelling against it or trying to make it go away, the mind actually turns to and becomes interested in other experiences that are arising as well. Doesn't become, you know, just totally riveted by pain. So another example of something about that showing up as the Buddha, what have you learned about the relationship between your views or ideas you have about how the world should work versus how it does work? So one of the things I've learned, among many things, is that when I've held ideas that the world should work a certain way or that people should behave a certain way, it inevitably leads to suffering. When I discover that I'm fighting reality the way it actually is. And so treating it as a Buddha, when I explore and uncover what the ideas or the concepts are that I've had about how the world works or how other people I thought should work or do work, if I line up with how they actually are, the suffering dissolves. And of course, another area we can learn a lot from is our relationships with people. We can learn a lot from what has happened when we have pursued pleasure and what that's taught us. So with this as an invitation this evening to see anything and everything that's arising as a Buddha that can offer us a lesson, let's turn to our meditation. And perhaps allowing that this meditation could serve as a kind of reflection at times, and at other times it may feel more like a meditation. Reflections allow a little bit of thinking or a few thoughts to arise, but not necessarily getting carried away with them. Settling in to awareness of how the body is right now. Appreciating what this body has taught you. And taking this body as a Buddha, teaching you about suffering and also about the lessening or the end of suffering. Extending appreciation to this dear body for all that it has been through, all that it has carried you through, whether it was healthy or going through illness or injury. Appreciation for the body as a Buddha. If there's awareness of emotions or feeling tones that are present, pleasant, unpleasant, neither pleasant nor unpleasant, allowing them to be here. Just as they are. Perhaps welcoming feelings as teachers. Aware of feelings, not having to feed them or push them away, perhaps noticing them as sensations in the body. Appreciating what they might be teaching you. And how simply being present with feelings, with emotions, without fueling them, is being present like a Buddha. And allowing thinking to be known if there's thinking present. A simple awareness that thinking is going on. Again, without feeding it or elaborating on it. Perhaps simply noting, thinking being known. Awareness of thinking as a Buddha, as a teacher. Any experiences that arise this evening can be known as lessons without trying hard. And as we continue in silence, allowing yourself to continue with appreciation of the Buddhas, of awareness of body sensations, of feelings and emotions, of thoughts, or if someone comes to mind from whom you've learned a great deal. Allowing appreciation for what you've learned from these different Buddhas in your life. The person who comes to mind might be a mentor or might be someone close to you, or they might be a difficult person. And sending appreciation. Oh, tonight, as we go into breakout groups, this is an invitation to imagine that each person in your breakout group is a Buddha. And if you're going to have an audience with the Buddha, if we were lucky enough to share what was going on in our practice with the Buddha, what we had learned about suffering, or what we had learned from the body as a teacher, what we had learned from feelings as teachers, what we had learned from thoughts, or what we had learned from other people in our lives, I think the way we would approach the Buddha would be with great respect. And even if the Buddha's experience was very different from ours, we'd listen really carefully and attentively to what they had to say. I think we probably would not offer the Buddha advice or commentary. We'd probably just be very interested in reporting and then listening. So what we usually do in our groups is each person shares one brief thing about what they experienced or what they came up for them about appreciation for what they've learned from various Buddhas in their lives. And then we make the round of the group multiple times. And the groups are usually about three or four people. I try to set the right number, but then, of course, people choose to stay or leave. And so if you find yourself in a group by yourself, don't worry, I will move you to a group with other people. And then we spend about 10 minutes. And when we come back, we have a chance to share in the larger group, but we don't break confidentiality. We don't share what somebody else said with their name associated with it, although we're welcome to share our own insights and things we learned or were touched by. So with that, I'll send you into the groups, and please enjoy your time together. Welcome back, everyone. So we now have about 11 minutes to bring up any inspirations or discoveries, anything you learned this evening, questions, protests. And you can raise your hand when you're ready, or If you are not visible and you want to unmute, we can take you when you unmute. Ah, let me make sure you can do that though. Sorry, have to enable that first. There you go.
Hi, Liz.
Hi, Holly, please.
Hi, I just, it was lovely. I was with a couple of ladies. One was brand new, and they're just like shining in this, like so much excitement about the sangha and everything. I could just see the light of Buddha, and her shining. And then, being new to the sangha, so much joy that she was presenting about finding the sangha and being one. It was wonderful. And I shared this picture, which I leave out for the rest of the time if I come on here. So I said, "This, this is me, the inner critic that this comes up." But then I got this part too, so I'll leave it here for people. I'll leave it here. I'll show up, and I'm seeing myself more often. I'll see this guy more than this guy more often. Then hopefully,
That's great, Ali. I like that
for that stuff.
your inner critic is now the Buddha. That's beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Someone in our group said something that was really beautiful that really put me in my heart. He said he had been doing practices of being out of his head and more in his heart, and that when he had a fall and a young boy came over and looked him in his face and said, "Are you all right? Are you okay?" And he felt the emanation from the boy's heart and his own connecting between them. And it's like at that moment, it's like, oh, yes.
Thank you for
It was.
sharing that. That's a beautiful story.
I think the vulnerability of suffering and pain on that human level can really open us up.
Yes. And as we've said before in this group, small children or any age of person has empathy as a natural gift. Just when we can open up to it.
Well, he was 12. The young boy was 12. So,
Okay.
like, that's right at the age where they start getting sassy and.
It can be the case. Yeah. That's great. Thank you. And Richard.
Well, you said that everyone we meet is the Buddha. We should treat them that way. Many years ago, I met an elderly Zen master who said every time he meditated, every time he sat with the Buddha. The Buddha was sitting with him as he was meditating. And that's one way we could take our own meditation.
Ah, oh, lovely. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, sometimes I have meditated and imagined everybody else around the world who's meditating at the same time. And the connection from the most advanced practitioner to the person who's just starting, it feels kind of good. But imagining you're sitting with the Buddha, that's really something beautiful. Serena, please.
I have more of a question than a report. When you guys were talking about sitting with the Buddha or in other paths, they talk about hanging out with Jesus or hanging out with a guru, different paths have different teachers, right? Different. So when we do that, when we imagine, for example, hanging out with the Buddha or another being that has left this plane of reality, it's like, what, you know, what is it that we kind of connect? You know, I'm just kind of, obviously, there could be tens of thousands of people hanging out with the Buddha at the same time, right? Because, mm-hmm. you know, in different parts of the world. So I guess the Buddha is in our consciousness more than necessarily present.
Yeah.
I'm kind of wondering, you know, how that experience happens, you know?
Yeah. And I'll guess that you might get a different answer from every single person in this Zoom call, you know, what that experience is for them and what you might connect with. I know one of the things that I've connected with in the past is the idea that this was a human being. This was not a deity. It was a person who decided that they wanted to find the end of suffering and was able to do that. You know, I can admire that it was a remarkable person, but I also just really connect with the fact that this was a fellow human being. And that it took time, you know, as far as I know, at least 7 years of practice and all kinds of difficult practices. And so that kind of gives me a feeling of connection and a feeling of possibility. So that's one point of view. But like I say, I bet there are different points of view from everyone in this group, what it is that they're connecting with, if they imagine being with the Buddha or sitting with the Buddha, or what inspires them about the Buddha could be different for each of us and could take time to discover.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Maybe in one of our future groups, we could have that conversation. What do people connect with when they meditate or when they think about the Buddha or any figure of wisdom?
Thank you.
Thanks, Serena. I'm guessing I'm not the only person here who's had some really tough Buddhas in their life. Things that were not easy, people who were not easy, experiences that were really rough. And being able to learn from those sometimes isn't quick and it isn't easy. But eventually there's something that can be understood from that experience. Yes, Aishwarya.
Thank you, Liz. I like the word, use of the word eventually, Liz. Because when I was meditating today, I felt, I know there's a lesson in something I'm going through, but I'm not ready to. And I want to be okay with that. I don't want to feel guilty about that. So I kind of, through my meditation, came upon the same realization that I know it'll happen one day, that all this, I will realize it happened for something. A big picture. Right now, I'm not ready to see it yet.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I've completed some lessons and still am pondering, what was that? What, you know, what is that giving me, or what can I learn from that? Or some lessons are really very complicated and it takes a lot of time. So I appreciate this practice as when they refer to it as the gradual path. I'm definitely signed on for that. And it helps to recognize that there's no finish line I have to cross. It's not a race. And some things are going to reveal themselves when they are ready, when this mind is ready. So thanks for bringing that up.
Yes, and I feel like just acceptance of that is bringing a lot more humor into my situation. I feel that someday I'll see it and that's okay.
Yes. I've been through phases when I thought, there were experiences that actually are hilarious. You know, they may not feel funny at the time, but there's something about them that you can't help but laugh at the human condition sometimes, or cry, or both. So thank you, Aishwarya. And thank you all very much for this practice. Oh, Nick, you'd like to say something before we end here? Yeah.
Yes, just really quick, what both of you were just saying, Aishwarya, Liz, the word unfolding kept popping into my head. Is that like it's not, it's something that just keeps unfolding for me day by day. And the humor is a huge part of that. The humor is often the biggest teacher, from the humor that comes with the pain.
Yeah.
You know, when I laugh a week later about something that I was ashamed of a week before, it's amazing.
Beautiful. You know? Yeah, it takes time even for the humor. So thank you all very much for your practice. And if you'd like to unmute and say goodnight to one another, have a great weekend.
Thank you, Liz. Thank
Thank
you,
you.
everyone.
Thank you.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Y'all.
Thank you, Liz. Bye.